Mini episode 176 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by LaughAtSports.com, your new internet home for the convergence of athletics and comedy. Follow them on the web at LaughAtSports.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Okay, folks, we are at the finish line here. FDH Lounge mini episode 176, part 4B of the Kyle Roth History of SummerSlam anthology. We are covering 2007 to 2012, which again we were able to do by waiting until after 2012 for this year. And by the way, and I'll start on a solemn and respectful note here, the world suffered a grievous loss this past week. I'd like to send an RIP, send our shouts out to Mike the Cleaner, who, of course, passed on this past week. Also to Neil Armstrong as well. A couple of badass old men here who really accomplished a lot were taken from us.
It's always interesting because we'll always be able to, I guess you always say the date, but we'll be able to always remember. It's like a time capsule. What was going on that week? You salute Breaking Bad. I salute a South Carolina college football game. The last time we did it. So there we go. So we'll always be able to remember what we were doing.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Paper Mate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, the Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and the Periodic Table of Elements.
And they just never addressed that subsequently. So there was those matches. John Morrison defeated CM Punk to keep the ECW Championship. Typical this match or this feud must continue.
Well, we also want to talk about what
and the SmackDown one, which was the same as always in that regard, right?
Well, I was going to say 2007. I think we always frame these things in a historical context. What had just happened prior to the SummerSlam, the Chris Benoit debacle.
Yes. So this was in the PG era that had just started, we're here to make people feel good.
Yeah, and this show didn't feel good. A lot of people didn't feel good during this time.
It really had that hangover to it.
Yeah, you had Cena Orton, and, at this point, it's no different. It's good. It's a fringe top 15 match in SummerSlam history, but as good as that sounds, like I said, of the last 10 SummerSlams, this is the worst.
Yeah.
I think. There was just nothing to it. The main event was okay. They changed the finish, I believe. I think Orton was originally scheduled to win, and like a couple days before, they decided they wanted Cena to keep the title. It wound up backfiring because Cena gets injured, and Orton wound up with the title anyway.
This might have been one of the rare times that they were still making a nod to SummerSlam being a big show and something that maybe needed a happy ending, and maybe because of Benoit, a little more so than usual. They've been through a lot that summer, send the crowd home happy. The irony is, it's always going to be a mixed crowd going home happy when it's John Cena on top.
Yeah, so this was not... Let me think here. We talked about 06... kind of being at the fringes of the top tier.
Your boy Murdoch didn't even crack the show here. Cade and Murdoch defeated London and Kendrick on the undercard. Would have been a dream match from a year ago.
Trevor Murdoch?
Yeah.
Vastly underutilized talent.
He was.
But here's the thing. We talk about 06, how if it's not a top tier, say it's kind of the top of the second tier.
Yeah.
This one, if it's not a bottom tier, like in the bottom five SummerSlams out of the 25, it's certainly at the bottom of that fourth tier.
This one is very 95-rific.
Yeah, it's not that bad, but I mean, when you look at the worst ones, 88, I think we were both down to the first one. Doesn't have a lot of substance.
It's got nostalgia value, at least, and it was MSG.
88, well, and that's all 90. 90, I think, was real bad, too.
Yeah.
We didn't like that one. And then, yeah, you'd have to go to the mid-90s. 95 and 96 are bad.
I've never hated 96 as much as you, just because...
to it. Except the Michaels Vader match. It was so, well, honestly, I would put this as a little bit better than 96, where it was a good main event and nothing else that
this,
I cared
this
about.
Was just awful.
And this was cool. And then, yeah, that's I put, yeah, so that's your bottom five right
yet,
there.
Yet another one of the SmackDown Championship matches here. World Heavyweight Championship. Great Khali loses to Batista by disqualification. This feud must continue. So,
oh, cool.
Yeah. Gotta sell your soul to keep the belt on Great Khali.
Cena Orton was a top 15 SummerSlam match. This might be one of the worst title matches in the history of SummerSlam.
And as I told you off air, almost all everything except Orton, Cena on this card was short. Mysterio Chavo was the only one to go with, double digits. It was 12:05. Everything else was single digit minutes. How the hell does this one get 6:58 and be almost as long as the other ones on the show? If you got to put Batista Khali out there, make it a 2-minute thing and just...
There's only 8 minutes. I don't understand. Here's the thing.
They must be running a whole boatload of skits that year.
This is what I don't understand with the current product compared to the old... In the old, like, SummerSlams, the old WrestleManias, the matches were short, but there was 14 of them.
Right.
How do you have a pay-per-view of 8 matches and none of them get... except the main event, of it, get any substantive time.
I don't
understand that at all.
That's pathetic. I mean, 07...
Well, maybe with WrestleMania, I really start getting their timing is just... I don't know.
Exactly. This is going to mark probably the quickest that we've blown through a SummerSlam. We already probably spent too much time on it.
Yeah, I have that towards the bottom.
Awful. 08... Yeah, a little better. I mean, you had some things here.
I would say markedly better. I would. The more I think about this, bottom of the second tier, maybe, for 08.
Taker, Edge, Hell in a Cell.
That's a fringe top 10 SummerSlam match.
Yeah. Batista, Cena, they blew that, you know, putting
that's
that one out there.
I'll say it's the last great Hell in a Cell.
Yeah. It was an excellent match.
When you look at the top Hell in a Cell matches, obviously the first two come to mind. Certainly, I think those will be 1-2 in everybody's. Triple H Foley, was supposedly...
And ironically, Foley was used in a storyline to set this one up. He was basically sacrificed to Edge as part of the build for Hell in a Cell.
That's right.
You don't know what it's like to be in there with The Undertaker.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Good call.
When he was getting turfed out to go to TNA.
Oh, boy.
Yep.
Poor Mick. And then Triple H Batista was also very good.
A real skid mark on Mick's career.
Yeah. He tried, but God.
He did.
But then Triple H Batista was the other good one. I would say this is the next best. If you're talking about the 5 best Hell in a Cells, those are them, I think.
Okay.
I wonder if I missed one.
I don't think you did.
Neither do I.
Batista Cena, set up by that Einstein Mike. Who was the... Who's the gentleman?
My boy. What a disaster that was.
Yeah. Storyline.
I don't ever root for bad things to happen to the company, but in that case, I did. We're going to put a respectable, you know, journalist. We're going to get him involved. Mike Adamly was so terrible.
And it's one of the things, too. I mean, when you talk about the risks involved in wrestling, and... Again, you know, for as much as there's a lot of things I don't like about Cena as a performer and everything like that, always respected his guts. The finishing maneuver that he took here of where he was coming off the top and it got turned into a Batista bomb, that's pretty much the reason he needed to have neck surgery shortly thereafter. A dangerous move. I don't fault Batista. It's just one of those things that happens.
Very interesting that Batista has subsequently given interviews where he said it was a bad... This was rushed onto the show.
Sure.
It could have been... Prime example is a couple years later at WrestleMania, you have this be this big match.
It was not
first, and it wasn't as...
Yeah.
Now, I mean, granted, in today's environment, people don't remember things like we used to.
This was too rushed to be a dream match, and that as a repeat couldn't be a dream match.
Yes. This match didn't do either guy any favors. Triple H Great Khali is certainly a...
Not a dream match.
Here's the thing, too, about having two titles.
Uh-huh.
It used to be that one of the, you know, usually the SmackDown match was... just devaluing the concept of a world title. Here, I think he kind of had two real lame duck world title matches. Triple H, Khali.
You did.
And CM Punk, that very forgotten first CM Punk title reign.
Yeah, and here's the thing, too. This is what's really funny about it. And you talk about the politics of the WWE in the 2000s. You said before you thought 03 was the last time at SummerSlam that the SmackDown title meant as much. When you got Triple H, now granted, the opponent was Kali, but he's defending the WWE Championship, and you got CM Punk JBL on top for the World Championship, when they were not at that point taking CM Punk seriously, at least relative to how they are today. There was at least parody of those matches then.
Yeah, but it wasn't a good cut. It was like, which one? Because
the SmackDown title was dragged down to that level, basically.
It wasn't the good kind of where it's like, okay, SmackDown was real strong this year. It elevated itself. No, it was just you had two lame ones.
Yeah. Well,
two world title matches, third and fourth, it was just bad.
It was.
But I think, in addition to Hell in a Cell, the most notable thing was actually an angle, the Jericho Michaels angle, where Jericho punched Michaels' wife.
Yes.
Was, you know, whatever a good angle on a pay-per-view. You don't see that very often.
Yeah, but there were people at the time saying that they thought that was kind of raw-rific for them to do that. And
I didn't mind it.
Okay.
Because something happened. Here's a concept. All right, remind me in a second when I'm done back blabbering and you're talking to walk up and grab my laptop because I have the quote out.
Okay.
It is so... I'm trying to talk about the PG era. I know the PG era here at the FDA.
Yeah.
I'm trying to bite my tongue here, not using some of the verbiage that I would like to say.
Yes.
It makes me very angry when there's no sort of like big thing that happens on a pay-per-view. Like, I still expect something like, give me something. I'm giving you my money. Something unique damn well better happen on the show.
Is it too much to ask for that to happen between the ropes, though? You're going to have an entire card and you can't have
Why can't it be both? There's this thing, oh my God, we're having this great match. Hope can't do anything else if we have a good wrestling match on the show. That should be enough. If these people, they wonder why their buy rates are in the damn toilet. It's because people are paying $44, in some case $54 for these shows on HD, and they don't get anything. They just get a bunch of average wrestling matches. Nobody wants that.
They don't aspire.
That's dumb. That's stupid, and anyone who subscribes to it's stupid. Just as stupid as people who subscribe to the concept of gerrymandering in our democracy, by the way. And a little editorialization there for you.
Okay, here's a complete non sequitur, but that's interesting.
Yes.
A third world title.
Paul Heyman, by the way. A new show.
Matt Hardy defeated World Heavyweight Champion for ECW Mark Henry by disqualification in 33 seconds, if you remember that one. Where they did the very quick DQ with Tony Atlas getting involved. So there were three world title matches that meant nothing. The look of disbelief you're giving me is just outstanding.
This SummerSlam is in favor as we speak. With me. Yeah, I think it's kind of that bottom second tier, top third tier kind of in there. It's a better than average SummerSlam.
I want to make a point here before we move on quickly.
Based on the Michaels Jericho angle of the Hell in a Cell match.
I want to make a point about stasis before we move on here. And everything. There are some guys in my mind that I just write off. And sometimes it's through no fault of theirs. But if you've been in the same spot for years, hit the bricks, pal. There was an intergender match here. Now, ironically, you could say this about one of the other guys in here, Santino Marella, but he performs at a useful spot on the card, comedy figure. He was still a heel at this time. He and Beth Phoenix against Mickie James and Kofi Kingston. It was the Intercontinental title, the Women's Championship at stake. Kofi Kingston was in matches like this then, and you could imagine him in a match like this now. Kofi Kingston has proven definitively he'll never be anything more than this.
You criticize me for saying about Kane, your boy, okay? I'd rather have Kofi Kingston around than
Kane at least has credibility in the eyes of the fans, and he's a great working big man. And Kofi Kingston's a good worker, but the fans realize by this time. He'll never be anything more.
There's a little self-fulfilling prophecy. Again, they don't give these mid-card guys really anything to hang their hat on. They're so interchangeable. Give the guy a good feud to remember. I mean, you know, I'm not saying
the guy's
got
a ceiling 4 inches off the ground.
I'm not saying
they're unfairly hit the
right
bell. Yeah.
Look, if they fired him tomorrow, I wouldn't cry. I wouldn't protest WWE television. He's a guy that is probably TNA written all over him or whatever. But
I think internet pay-per-view written all over.
I'll teach you to Okay. And if you tell them something that it hasn't reached the heights of 06, what happened to you? But I would rather have Kofi Kingston. At least Kane is terrible. That's a guy who should have had a job since. I could have made a case that Kane should have. They should have got rid of him in 2000.
Yeah, but great work.
We're doing this.
Great, big man. By the way, why wasn't he on this show?
Because obviously they were trying to appeal to me.
Speaking of great working big men, Bam Neely is not one of them. He lost to the Big Show here in just about the last thing that he ever did.
Good God.
Yeah.
Somebody 10 years from now is going to listen to this podcast and say, what did he just say?
Yeah.
Bam who?
I think so.
Bam Bam Bigelow?
I think so. So we now enter the modern era of SummerSlam. Los Angeles only. The last four have been at the Stape out there every year. And for the first one here in L.A., it ended up being, get this, a reprise of 2 years ago in the main event here with, it depends on what you consider the main event. The CM Punk match went on last, but Randy Orton and John Cena yet again, this time for the WWE Championship, and the shoe was on the other foot as Randy Orton, who was the champion, retained during this match. They did that with the interference of, who is it, Bret DiBiase?
Yeah, you know,
who has still not joined the main roster.
This just comes across, and this is why we can just do these with one broad stroke.
Uh-huh.
It's just another Cena Orton match.
Yeah,
traded. You know, Cena won some of them, Orton won some of them.
In an interminable feud, the people glorify, but it was decent. And
when was it great? And
no,
they,
it was never
there
great.
Were so many incarnations of it. Like none of them stick. You know,
right?
Cena didn't really strike me as particular. I did like CM Punk Jeff Hardy.
Yeah, that was the TLC match for the World Heavyweight Championship.
Yeah, and then The Undertaker showed up at the end, if you were to, of course, well,
was
Punk.
This the Loser Leave Town match?
No, that was on SmackDown they did
okay.
that. But Hardy's contract was going out. Or I don't know if this was it for him, or if, I think they did one more match on SmackDown. I remember Punk came out dressed as Hardy
and
got that great promo.
Yep.
People fell for it. That was great.
It really
I liked
was.
This view because it worked well. The straight edge character, that, you know, making fun of Hardy's shortcomings, I enjoyed that.
It was. By the way, and this
that's a fringe top 10 match in SummerSlam history. By the way,
yeah,
I put
it
right
there.
I'd put that right alongside the Edge Undertaker Hell in a Cell from previous year. I think they're about 4.25 star
right.
matches.
And I'm going to mention this just because it gets a lot of play from the hipsters at Pro Wrestling Only and from Death Valley Driver. The Christian ECW title reign of 2009 is one of the great underappreciated reigns of all time. He defended the title. There was only an 8-second match against William Regal. But Christian's reign is held up as, and what he did week in and week out on that TV show, as one of the great underutilized, underappreciated things in the last decade. Your thoughts, Kyle Ross?
God, I mean, Christian is it just seems to be he's destined to be underappreciated, so I don't really...
That's true.
You know, it just seems that everything he does is going to be underappreciated. So I think Christian, by this point, has been appreciated properly.
I still think he's underappreciated. Make me a hipster. But.
I think he's hit his ceiling. There are a couple fumbles. They make no mistake. They fumbled a few times with him.
Maybe.
But, I mean, he's very good. I mean, he should certainly have a job. He's better than 90% of the people on the roster.
Yeah. He's very good.
Here's the thing. Remember we talked about when we started kind of fumbling things here? You know, they have this idea. How did that elevation of Cody Rhodes and Ted DiBiase go?
Well, it was the Triple H, Shawn Michaels DX reunion that happened that summer. Look, the way that Triple H is politically, I mean, if you think back to when he pedigreed both London and Kendrick almost at the same time. The fact that he did a clean job in a one-on-two match to Rhodes and DiBiase to set this up, I was surprised at that. I was surprised that he allowed himself to do a job, you know, even when he was outnumbered because they're both smaller than he is. But, yeah, that set up this...
Cody Rhodes kind of persevered DiBiase in. I mean, because Cody was probably the talent of the moment. But I just don't understand why you... It's so indicative of the kind of booking that when you have the established guys against the upstarts... They always put these established guys over.
And also Shawn Michaels' last SummerSlam, because that DX run was the final run for him prior to his retirement match the next year at WrestleMania against The Undertaker.
Yeah.
So this was going to be it for him. Kane
this was not one of his career highlights.
No, it was not. Kane, Great Khali, how'd they end up in a match again? Those guys...
Yeah, I thought he was an underrated big man.
he can't carry the Great Khali to eat more than a one-star match. Jericho defending the tag titles against Crime Time. We should say historically this was when they had at least unified the tag team titles. First SummerSlam of the unified tag team titles.
I didn't mind Jericho.
They were a good team. And the other thing too, and this is just a grievance point for me looking back on this. Talk about how, you know, this company's going to elevate the young guys, whatever, and where they're at right now. I was hearing a lot of buzz at the time here. A guy who was having great matches even then, not as great as now, but Dolph Ziggler doing a clean job for the Intercontinental title match then. Dolph Ziggler at close to the same place on the card 3 years later, which is like a war crime.
Jesus, that seems a little strong.
It's an atrocity.
Okay, that seems a little strong.
It's an atrocity. Dolph Ziggler should be one of your top three or four guys in the company.
He is, but I mean, to me, I'm so numb to how everyone is in the same spot that they were 3 years ago. I mean, what do you expect? I mean, I think I saw that he do the job in a tag match on Raw last week.
I think so.
I read.
Yeah.
What are they doing?
A guy with a briefcase is doing that. It wasn't that a favorite.
I like Dolph Ziggler. I don't think he's as great as you think he is, but he's very good.
It wasn't that a favorite saying back on SNS back in the time, 50-50 booking purgatory?
I think it might have been.
Yeah.
You're
going to take my word for that. It was your show, and you got to take my word for it.
Yeah, it might have been. I don't know. At that point, we were all, who knows.
Well, we won't get into it. You don't remember.
Yeah. It's like Bob Saget, America's Funniest Home Videos. not because of the corny jokes.
Less said the better on that. Close to a one-match show in 2010, the second SummerSlam of the LA era, Team WWE versus The Nexus. It was John
Cena. Yeah, another fumble here.
John Cena, the returning Daniel Bryan, Edge, Chris Jericho, Bret Hart, R-Truth, and John Morrison versus Wade Barrett, Justin Gabriel, Heath Slater, David Otunga, Michael Tarver, Darren Young, and Skip Sheffield. You know him as Ryback.
This is just so indicative of when you look back at the summers. Oh, remember that big angle that didn't pan out and did nothing for anyone?
Yeah.
Like, I mean,
Super Cena, it was like,
okay,
it was a 3-on-1 at the end, and he overcame the odds.
Here's the thing. Wade Barrett is going to probably be a star if he can stop getting hurt. Some of these other guys could be, but none of their legacies will ever be. You know, there's always that linear time. You can always remember, it used to be when you looked at a guy's career, take somebody like The Rock,
mm-hmm.
Really easy pick. You know, SummerSlam 98, we talked about in a previous podcast, Ricky. Great summer-long feud with Triple H. He's the leader of the nation. That was the match where the crowd, you realize he's going to be the next big star in the company. You know, certain matches, this was just like, well, I remember this was supposed to be kind of big, and it wound up not meaning a damn thing for anybody.
Yeah. It just...
John Cena went over a bunch of new guys.
Big missed opportunity and everything like that. And Bret Hart being in the match, too. And the thing is, like, with him, in this sort of... I hate when I have to say things. Like, I criticized the finish to Austin and Owen because it exposed the business. I hate saying things that are true but come off as heartless. This is going to come off as heartless.
Okay.
Bret Hart having had the stroke and fallen off the bike and hit his head, I don't want him to take any shots to the head. I don't. I don't want the man to become a vegetable. He's recovered greatly, and I want him to have a healthy, happy life. Well, you got a guy in the match that you know can't get punched in the head, and it's just like, oh, why aren't they punching him in the head the way they are everybody else? It just takes you out of the match. He should be protected if he should be in there, but that's why he shouldn't be in there, because you have to protect him and you have to suspend disbelief too much.
I agree completely with what you
said. You're not going to call me a dick for saying that.
No, okay. I think you're right, because you're ultimately looking out for him. It's either...
Well, because he could inadvertently take
how
a shot
times,
in the head.
How many times have we said this? Either... Do something all the way or you don't do it at all.
Yeah.
They always do this half-ass crap.
Yeah.
You know, Bret Hart being in the ring should be a gigantic freaking deal. Not, oh, God. Because to me, it's just like, oh, gee. You know, it's bad to watch. Business, in some regards, it is business exposing.
Yeah, it is. It is. The other matches on the card here. I mean, look, you got to admit, these guys got some pretty good chemistry here working together. Kane for the World Heavyweight Championship defeating Rey Mysterio. I mean, that was
a terrible feud.
That was so bad. Terrible feud, but if we're grading on the curve of SmackDown title matches at SummerSlam in the modern era, that's above average. That's above average, those
two. I don't want that curve. I get everyone.
You're not going to accept my promise at all?
No. I hated that feud. It was disgraceful. The fact that Kane was a world champion, SummerSlam was one of the most atrocious things. You talk about a war crime.
It's not nearly as bad as Dolph Ziggler not getting elevated. Come on now. Let's keep the matters in perspective.
It's worse.
I love your warp way of looking at things. The other, this is what's funny. It was on the other side where it was the more blatant, this feud must continue. Usually it was SmackDown, but this time it was Raw. Randy Orton defeated Sheamus, the WWE champion, by disqualification. So it was just a contrivance to stretch that out before Randy Orton got the title win in the fall.
It's just not exciting to me.
No, it really wasn't.
Just not. You talk about, this is a bad SummerSlam.
Big Show squashing
this
the entire
is a bad
society.
SummerSlam.
Yeah.
You know how it was like sometimes come to it, like I'm thinking, okay,
yeah.
What's the. This is a bad. This is definitely towards the bottom of SummerSlams.
Yeah. Big Show over Punk, Mercury, and Gallows. Less said about that, the better.
This is a bad SummerSlam.
Well, and then two guys that I've talked about thus far, both two guys that symbolize modern booking purgatory. Dolph Ziggler fought Kofi Kingston to a no contest. That is the mascot match of the modern SummerSlam right there.
This is a bad SummerSlam.
I love how I've turned you against it merely by reading the matches off to you. This only had six matches. The only one we haven't talked about, Melina defeated Alicia Fox for the Divas Championship.
This is a bad SummerSlam.
Would you care to reconsider how bad 07 was? Because right about now, I'd take 07 over this crap.
This is a bad SummerSlam, Ricky.
This to me is officially lower than 07.
This might be fighting for one of those bottom spots. You're right. No good match. I mean, because at least 07 had Cena, Orton.
Yeah.
The main event match wasn't that great. The Eliminate the Nexus match wasn't as good as that.
No.
This is a bad SummerSlam.
There was
one. Even 95 had Michaels Ramon in the ladder match.
Well,
96 had Michaels Vader. What does this have?
The one thing I'll say, where I'll give them some points.
Oh, this stinks.
You're probably going to disagree with me, but here's where I'll give them some points. Is that, remember how I said back in 88 that you had a little bit of the aura of, you know, it was Hogan, it was Andre, that still meant something. They were at MSG, it's the nostalgia looking back on it. Well, they've been teasing ever since the debut of Nexus and the attack on Cena. This was the first match. You kind of didn't know what was going to happen. With Cena with that team against Nexus, they've been teasing it all summer. They don't normally wait, you know, more than one pay-per-view to put guys in the ring. You don't normally have a lame duck pay-per-view in between. They normally just book to the next pay-per-view. They actually booked past the pay-per-view. Do you give them at least some credit for that?
Yeah, but then
payoff was disappointing. Would you give them no points for build?
I guess a little bit.
Okay.
I always give points for build.
All right. Well,
but
the build was very good, was it not?
Okay, well, then what makes this any different than 93, where I thought the build for Luger Yokozuna was very good, but the execution was stupid to me.
But I couldn't buy Luger. That killed it for me. I mean, I guess I just look at it that differently than you.
I think that's a better SummerSlam than this.
Ugh. Well, yeah, but 93, I told you before, I'm prejudiced against the ones that have too many gimmicks that I hate. So I'd probably go for this one just because there's... I'm not prejudiced.
I would actually say 93 is markedly better than this show. This is one of the
I just hate the mid-90s gimmicks, though. I can't get past that. Those ones felt minor league to me, the mid-90s SummerSlams. So
I guess that, I mean, most of them aren't very good. I mean, hey, look, I think 95 and 96 are certainly two of the worst ever. 94 is bad. I mean, they were all, you're right, they all weren't very good, but I mean, come on, this?
Well, 2000...
This is one of the worst SummerSlams ever.
2011, I think we're going to agree, probably was better, even if not...
Yeah, really. But it was still really disappointing. Another fumble.
It was. And again, they just... This is the opposite of long build. Long build in 2011 would have been you keep Punk out for at least another pay-per-view. You don't bring him back before Night of Champions in September at the earliest.
Or at least have an angle where like you have Vince McMahon demanding to show up or something.
You know what the irony is? I'm going to tell you the irony. This is not an original take. I'm stealing this off of some message board somewhere, but I'm going to go with it anyways. If we'd had Tout in 2011, that feud would have gone on for a while. They'd be going, let's take a peek at what CM Punk's doing tonight. They would have been doing that crap for weeks. Do you realize that? Yeah. But they didn't have a means in their mind for keeping
it was tricky to do, and CM Punk has even admitted, well, they needed a main match for SummerSlam.
But make it Cena Mysterio in the finals of the tournament.
That's one thing you could do.
Cena Mysterio wouldn't be a dream match for... come on. I mean, that's...
That's also up to them, because the reason they have so few options is because they treat so many people like poo during the year.
Right, right. But this is
a below-average SummerSlam to me. I thought going in... Yeah. Here's the problem. They had come off one of the greatest pay-per-views in company history. Certainly one of the a top five all-time non-Big Four pay-per-view is Money in the Bank 2011.
Yeah.
I mean, that's up there with the No Way Out 2001, Backlash 2000, Vengeance 05. Okay, there aren't many.
No Mercy 06.
Mercy 06?
I'm just trolling you.
No Mercy 06. Oh, God.
So that's what your face looks like when you're smelling your own diarrhea.
I can't. No Mercy 06.
We actually watched that one at Harpo.
Was that like the awful one where they went to a non-finish with Guerrero and Batista?
No, that was Batista, Booker, Finlay, and Lashley, the four-way for the world title. The one where The Miz debuted and they got like a lap dance from like Teddy Young, brought out like some people to give a... Yeah, that one. I always like to troll you with No Mercy 06.
Oh, Mercy 06.
I mean, I completely disrupted the flow of what we were talking about, but just selfishly seeing the hilarious look on your face makes it...
All right, well, bottom line is Money in the Bank 2001 was a very good show.
Okay.
I mean, I can't remember the last pay-per-view I enjoyed that much.
It was
before or after.
It was
that's a non-WrestleMania.
And then this happened.
Yeah, and I would have thought going in, you know, me, I'm always big with the list, so I was like, oh, well, we've got a guaranteed great match tonight, at least, in Punk Cena, who had what, in my opinion, is probably the best match of the last, you know.
You knew it was good. I hope you knew that.
Yeah, well, I know, but you'd hope it'd be kind of like that.
50-50 crowd, folks.
No, here's the thing. Sometimes you can always get that rematch where it's like, okay, where they kind of like, it's like a great, you know, there have been rematches where going in, it's like, okay, chances are this is going to be as good as the original, mm-hmm. but they're still damn good. I can give you a great example. Michaels Ramon, SummerSlam 95.
Yeah.
Okay, I've got the WrestleMania match, the five-star match. That SummerSlam went 4 3/4.
Okay.
Michaels Undertaker, the one WrestleMania match is like 4 3/4, second one 4.
Okay. JBL Batista, the next one was almost as good.
Okay, you're starting to upset me.
Okay.
But you can just get... To me, there's... When it's just like... If you just kind of like do the same match as Bill first one, you can get that residual, and it can still... This was just so far off. It had that wacky triple... And then Del Rio wins
the title. Kevin Nash doesn't want him.
This was... I just remember not liking this show.
That was kind of lame. Well, they were just going for the shock ending at all costs here. Mark Henry, in the midst of his big Black Vader push, which was awesome, by the way, defeating Sheamus by countout. And as high as they've always been on Sheamus, to feed Sheamus to him shows you what they thought of Henry at the time. Randy Orton defeated Christian in a no-holds-barred
match. That was a good match. I remember that was a good match.
Their whole feud, for being such a one-sided feud, it was awesome. It would have benefited from better, you know, more even.
Speaking of some of the things we've been talking about earlier about those two guys, Christian to me is better than Randy Orton.
Oh, clearly. Clearly. It's not even close in my estimation. That makes us hipsters. Bring out the PBR.
No, I think you're an idiot if you think Randy Orton's better than Christian.
I guarantee you Joe Blow, WWE fan, does.
Well, then
the operators in the arenas think that.
The difference is negligible. I think Orton, here's the thing. Orton has the bigger ceiling, I'll agree.
Yeah.
Yes, he does. Because here's the thing, because they believe it. Because Orton, if you do a little bit of the artificial stuff, Orton could be better. I think Christian is naturally better, but the artificial stuff you can sprinkle on the situation would make... I could see where Orton would have the higher ceiling. But, I mean, to me, I just don't see how in their eyes they could book such a one-sided feud between these two.
Here's the thing, and I know you're going to go ballistic when I mention this name. I'm not comparing him to him. but I'm using him as like a template. Like, would somebody, because I understand, I mean, you know, comedy, that can be too goofy. You take a wrong turn and you end up being Santino Marella. But somebody like The Rock, you know what I mean, knows how to incorporate. Christian, I'm not comparing him, but Christian has the same entertaining flair about him, particularly when he's, you know, a face, and his ability to do put downs of other people and everything like that, the cleverness. I'm just saying that when you say Randy Orton's got the higher ceiling, I'm saying maybe you have to look in a non-conventional kind of a way, because Christian has a ceiling that's never really been tapped in that way.
I mean, I agree with what you're saying. To me, it's just they're both very solid upper-tier guys.
Okay.
That, to me, you can't build the company around.
Well, and I'll tell you what.
Like, to me, like it's what they very clearly feel that, oh, we could definitely build a company around Randy Orton, but we could never build a company around Christian. I'm here to say that that's silly.
From that match to the one that, in the eyes of history, when we look back years from now, I'm not even going to begin to compare this to Triple H Rock in 98, because nothing, you know, they've never done anything like that. But as far as two guys that 5 or 6 years from now, we're going to say, wow, those guys faced each other in a tiny undercard match. Wade Barrett defeated Daniel Bryan. Both of those guys, a half decade from now, will be established among the top guys in the company. No question.
That ain't no Triple H Rock.
No, but again, I'm not comparing it, but it's a little bit of the same guy.
I don't even remember that match.
No!
Last year.
No! I'm not saying we'll remember the match, but I'm saying in 2017,
oh,
we're going to look back and be like, wow, these two guys,
yeah,
who might very well be in this year's main event, were in a tiny little undercard match in 2011.
Okay,
that's right.
I'll buy that.
Okay.
This is a below-average SummerSlam.
But so much better than the last two, right? 09 and 10. I mean, those were garbage.
I don't know if it's better than 09.
Really? Well, it's better than 10, though.
Yes.
Yeah. Anything's better than 10.
Yes.
Well, now we get to this year's one, and just all the forgettable stuff. I mean, it's a thing where you talked about before that your big bone of contention is, especially, and it's not just pay-per-view, but it's a thing where a big pay-per-view, right? I mean, I don't know if you consider SmackDown to be the second biggest one of the year or the third. It's trendy by a lot of people to call Royal Rumble the second biggest one of the year. I don't consider it as big as SummerSlam, just because Royal Rumble, its primary purpose is as a feeder to WrestleMania. I don't think you can be bigger than SummerSlam if that's your primary purpose. SummerSlam, for better or for worse, stands on its own. That's why I consider it bigger. But it's certainly one of the three biggest ones of the year.
It definitely is, but it used to be number two, but somewhere along the lines, basically because of the booking.
Yeah.
It became a threat. If you just look at the numbers, Royal Rumble's more popular event. I mean, it is. Because in the modern WWE,
right,
it's easy to see why.
Right.
You can't really screw up the Rumble. People know what, largely, and certainly there have been Rumbles that have been better than others, sometimes by a very significant margin.
Right.
They're not always 1982. But people largely know what you're going to get with the Royal Rumble. It's, you can incorporate all things. SummerSlam, here's the problem. With the Rumble and WrestleMania, it's hard to screw those two shows up now, the way they have it set up. WrestleMania, they play up so much of the history, but it's just this larger-than-life event.
Right.
The Rumble is the Rumble. It's, hey, you know, to me, the Royal Rumble is always going to be a one-match show. There have been exceptions to that when they've had there's been some great title matches.
And it'll be the exception again next year when The Rock was in the WWE title match.
Yes. So, but, you know, I mean, the very definition of a one-match show was the 1992 Rumble, when it was for the belt,
yeah,
and that was enough,
yeah,
for that show. SummerSlam, it requires a little more work from the creative team, and they just haven't, you know, whatever, they just haven't been up to the challenge, in my opinion.
No, they haven't, but
they're trying. See, I think that's why they go with the L.A. thing now, because it's supposed to be, oh, it's this big
play. Yeah,
action. You know, hey, we're just having a party in the summer,
yeah,
rather than blowing off some wrestling feuds.
Well,
and that's dumb.
And that's the thing, because, yeah, I mean, if we're going to look at it conceptually, WrestleMania, I mean, it's not the entire card top to bottom, but WrestleMania has a fair number of blow-offs. Do you agree with me that SummerSlam would be better if it were treated as a mini-mania and had,
yes,
more focus?
That's how I would treat it.
Yes.
I mean, that's how I would treat it. That what happens, to me, this is what you do. If I was running the WWE,
mm-hmm,
you, after WrestleMania, mm-hmm. where there has been a bump, what is your big summer feud going to be? What is your big summer program? SummerSlam should be the, whatever it is, should be the culmination of that.
Yes.
In this case, they have Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
We can talk about, and I'll mention, how they completely ruined him by jobbing to John Cena. And they, I mean,
which I called, by the way, on a previous mini episode.
You did, yeah. And it's sad that you did. I wished you were wrong, because to me this just seems like a fumble already. I'm bored of Brock. His aura, the specialness, it's gone. And it's going to show in his buy rate when it comes out, man.
Nothing says seriousness, like feeding Triple H to him. It doesn't get much bigger than that, given his politics.
You'd think that, but I think in the eyes of most people, when you saw the reaction he got for his, you know, I'm retiring, I'm going away thing, maybe he's not as big as he thinks.
True.
He never was.
They went 1845 in a match that was more of a...
At least Lesnar went over, but to me... And granted, look, he got that cushy contract, so I'm not saying he should be in the title picture or something like that, but it just seemed like, oh, well, it's a big event, and we've got Brock Lesnar, this big deal, so we have to put Brock Lesnar on this show.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess this was, I mean, when you look back, I mean, they did do the angle, the injury, but it wasn't sold. I thought this just fell flat.
Yeah, really, and again, and I think... The crowd didn't give the sympathetic outcome that they wanted.
No, they it's funny because when you do have the events like Mania and now like SummerSlam where it's in LA, you get that more hardcore audience willing to travel, I guess, and you know that you're going to get reactions like that.
Well, not only that, I mean the way that it was going, the way they did it in the last week. The storyline on Raw of Lesnar breaking Michaels' arm, that just... And Shawn Michaels, never would have believed this in 97, but Shawn Michaels is as beloved a character as you will find anywhere in the company today.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It just upped the ante so much that to have Triple H come up short and then, again, suffer the storyline broken arm of his own in the end, I think it just deflated the crowd. The booking was bad. Because you had a guy who was not a very sympathetic face in the first place. You had a crowd that, because of Michaels, quote-unquote, getting his arm broken, wasn't going to be behind anything other than Brock Lesnar getting some payback. And making this match just to build up Brock Lesnar for WrestleMania, I think they miscalculated. That's all this was.
It's weird the way they've done it because he's only a semi-regular. But you have to protect Lesnar to me. You have to just have him as something special, unique, and dominant.
And that's why... We talk about
mocking the ref stoppage for Edge Hardy. They should have done a ref stoppage for Lesnar Cena.
Maybe they should have, and that might have been a little bit better. But here's the thing, though. The one thing they did get right... For a guy like Lesnar, because they're in such a weird position, they have to protect him, they have to keep him strong. I'm not going to say that they learned their lesson or anything just yet, but special attractions, by and large, look no further than Undertaker, Triple H, the last 2 years at Mania, special attractions, by and large, should be segregated. Brock Lesnar at least didn't hurt a member of the main roster here.
Agreed.
That was why I felt, again...
Triple H
put himself into a corner, though, with him and Cena, and that's why I felt like Cena had to go over. It was the lesser of two evils because Cena's got to stay strong the rest of the year. And unfortunately, they're going to make him strong at the expense of my boy, CM Punk, before it's all said and done, and take that point too far.
I don't think... If there was a... He could lose three straight... I don't see how John Cena isn't strong.
He loses to The Rock and Brock Lesnar back to back.
I disagree.
He just would.
I still think he would have been fine.
Because I think that the marks take into account rust factor also too. Ah, Rock hasn't even been here for 10 years and he beat his ass.
I think anyone thinks that. Who thinks
that? Have you
that?
Seen the mouth breathers at a wrestling show these days?
No.
Okay, well, I mean, neither have I. I haven't been recently either.
Okay. You just called my blog again. No, I haven't.
When's the last time I went? I think it was 04 Survivor Series.
Yeah, but...
You just totally called my bluff there.
They built the show around this, and it just didn't hit the way it needed to.
No,
it just wasn't that special.
It didn't. And,
nothing really else. Here's the quote, by the way. I got it. I promised it from you. This drives me crazy. This is from the New Observer.
Okay.
I think it was last week's.
The 25th WWE SummerSlam show is a mixed bag in the sense that if you were expecting something special out of one of the big three events of the year, you'd be disappointed. Remember that. If 3 hours of average to good matches with nothing bad but little in the way of storyline advancement is good enough, then it was a solid show. Two sentences, let's break them down. The first one. If you're not, call me old school, if you don't expect something special in one of the three events of the year,
yeah,
don't.
Yeah.
And maybe shame on me for expecting, I mean, I didn't, you know, I didn't pay for this show, but then you're dumb. Like, why would you pay for one of the three biggest shows and, you know, not really big happened, but I'm cool. I mean, I guess more power to you.
I can't relate to that either. Can't relate to that way of thinking.
If 3 hours to average to go with nothing bad, why would you? I don't understand.
Expectations should not be.
Jericho Ziggler, it was a classic Bischoff booking where it's like, let's have the match
at
SummerSlam.
Yeah,
build the wall. It doesn't work. Of course, that company only went out of business.
You teased Charlie Sheen's involvement, only for that to be a complete misnomer.
I despise the way they're treating Daniel Bryan. I can see it ending badly for him.
You think so? I mean, at least he's out. I mean, he's over. He's over like Rover.
But I don't like the way he's being treated. He's being treated as a joke. Dumb. Small package. Oh, I get it.
Well, good things come in small packages. That's something you never hope to hear in the bedroom, certainly. The Miz defeated Rey Mysterio for the Intercontinental Championship.
I kind of fell flat after this one.
Yeah.
At this point, both these guys are just, you know, Miz, he had a hot run, and he actually improved after that a little bit, but he's not getting...
The other Intercontinental Championship...
He's a loser.
Which they call the World Heavyweight Championship. Oh. Sheamus defeated Alberto Del Rio. And yet, again, with the foot on the ropes, this feud must continue.
Yeah.
Even when there's a finish, it's not a real finish.
This is one of those things that, you know, you're going to reference. Oh, do you remember that Sheamus-Alberto Del Rio match? I'm going to say, which this is like 2 years from now. I'm imagining a conversation.
They've been wrestling
I'm
this summer.
I'm going to be like, which one? And then you're like, oh, they did this. I'm like, no, I don't really remember that.
I mean, this is like the Randy Orton Christian series without the work rate. I mean, there's no excuse for that. There's no excuse for these guys not having been
there. It's funny because they clearly have faith in both guys.
They're losing faith in Del Rio. They don't want to admit it. So they're splitting the difference. Put them out there and make them lose every title match.
I have both these guys on my overrated list. I don't think either of them is great.
I used to be really high on Del Rio, but I'm coming around to your point of view on that. I don't believe that about Sheamus. I think Sheamus, for a big man, again, I think he's an excellent big man. Part of it is, and this is the thing.
I've never been a huge, he's okay.
Here's the thing, though, and you've questioned me on this before. Why do I rate Sheamus over the big men of, like, the last decade? Here's what I go back to is bumping. How is Nathan Jones at taking a bump? How are these other guys? Sheamus is a smooth mover in the ring for a man of his size.
Yeah, but I guess that's one way to look at it. I just see him as having a ceiling, I guess. I just don't.
Their ceiling is the next John Cena. That's what they see.
That's preposterous.
They're going to as we may finally get the John Cena heel run we've been looking for when they think Sheamus is ready to carry the ball on face of the company. Because that's what they're going for. Sheamus face of the company. And, yeah, that's why he's getting the run he's getting right now. The next move would be to move him to Raw, certainly.
That's preposterous. You cannot build a company around Sheamus. I'm telling you right now.
They may try in the next year or two.
Well, then, God bless you in their buy rates.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, and,
look, anything can happen. I mean, if you strike gold, there's the right combination. I'm just saying, unless if something very unique happens with him.
Right. Okay.
No.
I'm not saying I...
I mean, the only one who remembers 3 months ago when all the hardcores were booing this guy out of the building and he looked like a...
That was just sympathy for Daniel Bryan. I don't think it was anything personal about him other than...
Well, he basically says, hey, guy... No, see?
Hey, fella.
Yeah. No, it speaks volumes to me, pardon the pun. It's saying, oh, hey, WWE. Oh, hey, guy that you think you can... that they think they can build a company around. We like this other guy way more.
I gotta think fellow Irishman Jake Digman would be taking a lot of credence, or he'd have a lot of issues with what you're saying here.
But that's...
Oh, wow, that really scared you out. Jake doesn't agree with a lot. Jennings,
yes.
Yeah, I'm sure he's going to listen at some point. Hello, Jake.
I'm sure he's listening to this on his iPod underneath the Hollywood sign as we speak.
Yes,
and,
yes.
So good luck out there, Jennings, and we'll be talking to you soon, hopefully on the show here. Yeah. In the match of...
Let me tell you something. WWE has the same chance of being successful with building its company around Sheamus as a movie franchise does with Jake. Okay? Something tells me that he's not going to be the next... He wasn't the next choice to fill the role of Matt Damon in the Bourne Identity, okay?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of great gigs out there. I mean, there's, you know, seat filler at the Oscars and everything like that. So
God bless.
Get a tux, Jennings.
I'm just saying, Sheamus to me is not... Great.
No, he's not great. I just think he's better than you think he is.
If you're not great, how can you build a company around someone who's not great?
I mean, he's well above average.
I guess just because he's booked, he's protected. That's all it takes.
On a scale of Great Khali to Ziggler, I'd call him a... I just wanted to get the look out of you.
The problem is that it's self-fulfilling. It's like, he hasn't been around long enough. He's been around for a while, and he's sort of been able to stay above the 50-50 booking waters.
On a scale...
I'll give him that, but it's not like it's really based on merit. I mean, do you think the guys they protect are based on merit or protecting them?
I know. I agree with that. On a scale of Great Khali to Ziggler, I'd give him a Jericho. I'd say he's about at the Jericho level, which is like an 8.
What?
7-5, 8. Yeah.
What?
Yeah. He's well above 5. He's well... Who would be 5? Del Rio? Del Rio is a 5.
He's like a 6. An 8? You're a shame.
7-5.
I don't know what you consider the low point of Chris Jericho over the last 10 years.
Hey, those forearm strikes over the ropes are over, fella.
You keep focusing on bizarre things, though.
I mean,
I'm just talking about how he's perceived.
Jericho's
lowest point,
yeah,
in over the last 10 years, to me,
yeah,
was not much. I guarantee you, whatever that would be, would not be significantly worse than the height of Sheamus.
Sheamus or Big Show?
Right now?
Yeah.
Oh, Sheamus. The Big Show, I don't know his employee.
Okay. All right.
Big Show, his career, we talked about that in a previous podcast. He's been in 50-50 war since 1999.
What
are you supposed to care about him?
Aside from an isolated four weeks earlier this summer, absolutely. And then he did the job on the next pay-per-view. But anyways.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Before we get to the Raw Championship match, the match of, hope your manager doesn't make... a bad rape joke on Raw, because otherwise you won't get the belts match. R-Truth and Kofi Kingston going over the primetime players, Titus O'Neil and Darren Young. The one thing that was really good, I understand they did the thing, I think they showed the thing on Raw, I missed this, but I'm just visualizing it, of R-Truth pouring the Gatorade on Little Jimmy. I mean, that's got to be pretty funny.
Okay, I do like, no, that's not bad, but by the way, would your boy Todd Aiken call that a legitimate rape joke? Okay. All right. How about
that's
that?
Outstanding.
Yeah, I thought of it. Did you see the wheels? I think you could see the wheels. I turned around. I was like, how am I going to phrase this? Okay.
By the way, I still think that Abraham Washington could beat Claire McCaskill in that Senate race. But I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yes. Get out of here.
Yeah. So there's,
I don't. To me, this was again, if not a bottom tier, but in that second of the bottom tier.
The prime time players, at least. I mean, there's no reason for them not to go over because their ceiling is higher. I've been saying this all along. R-Truth and Kofi Kingston are what they are. Prime time players are charismatic heels who can work fairly decent. Let's see what they can do.
The problem is with them is they ruin guys so early in the game.
Well, they've ruined Jack Swagger, which just kills me. Swagger's under guy well above 5.
That,
they kill him.
And they have so few places to turn to that, honestly, I'll tolerate R-Truth and Kofi. They're fine in their roles. You just don't like rap music, to be honest with you.
not terribly. Not terribly. Although, I will say, the Jay-Z Linkin Park album is one of the finest compilations ever. But that's me being a Linkin Park mark more than anything else. CM Punk...
D just died and rolled over in his grave.
CM Punk, the only other match of consequence we haven't talked about. That's not counting the one on YouTube. Antonio Cesaro won the United States Championship, European Championship from Santino Morella. Looking forward to seeing what Antonio Cesaro does with that belt. You apparently from that look or not? I mean, you have to turn in your Smart Mark card, Kyle Ross, if you don't want to see that guy get a run with some gold. Come on.
It's not even interesting.
Really?
I just become that. No. Really? Because I have no faith. That's the problem. At least he used to have faith. At least when a guy, you could see him being pushed, this will be good. He can really become something big for the company. Really, do you think when we're doing the SummerSlam 2014 podcast, we're going to be talking about the greatness of Antonio Cesaro?
I certainly hope so. I'd like to think so. But, speaking of guys who once prospered in ROH, CM Punk again defeats John Cena for the WWE Championship for the second year in a row at SummerSlam. Also the Big Show. Big Show is who he actually took the pinfall on, of course.
Yeah.
This feud must continue. CM Punk, John Cena, next month at
Night of Champions.
Night of Champions, or this month, actually, September. So, nothing really much of consequence there in that match.
This is a lower tier. To think. Bottom 10 SummerSlams.
Bottom 10?
Yeah. All right. 88.
90.
93 maybe. I think 93 is better than you think it is. I like that one. 94, 95, 96 are all in there.
Yeah.
So let's just put an asterisk by 93 in that count. So we've got five of them so far.
Okay.
90, 94,
96. Does 99 count?
Yeah, it was pretty good. I thought we liked that. I thought we spoke glowingly. There was no great math.
Well, 99 was a bad year for pay-per-view,
I thought we had a very nice, eloquent podcast about how they were doing record numbers that period, and that just because Vince Russo is booking doesn't mean the show is automatically terrible and that there was no good wrestling. It wasn't okay.
My enduring fascination with you, Kyle, is why your money Uber Alice fascination doesn't carry over to politics. We'll have to explore that for another day. It does with ESPN. It does with 1999 booking. It doesn't carry over the world.
Politics actually matter in the grand scheme of life. Okay? Read old John Locke, the Harm Principle, okay? Let me tell you something. Ultimately, as bad as WWE booking can be sometimes.
I'm busy reading Russell Kirk at the moment, but I'll try to get to that after I'm done.
Dear God.
I like to glorify Russell Kirk every opportunity.
I'm reading Fear and Loathing on the campaign trail 72, by the way. an ominous tone for every presidential election since. Bad choices we always have.
Yeah, that's true.
Have you ever noticed? I'm kind of hoping by November 2012, when we're doing the Survivor Series anthology. I'm kidding. Should we?
Yeah.
I don't know. Who knows? Who knows? But it'll be like every other one where we start out like a House of Fire with the first ones.
And then digress to this. Let me talk about this since we're on this note here.
By November, I'm banking on Obama and Romney being the two most disliked people in the United States of America.
That would be entirely deserved in my estimation if they were one and two in whatever order. I'll just say this too. Something that is making me want to slash my wrist right now, even beyond the presidential campaign, my all-time favorite political philosopher, Pat Buchanan, his new book, Suicide of a Superpower. Ugh. Just seeing about how our country is going to cease to exist in 15 years is just enough to make me want to jump off a cliff. So,
really? Do you believe it? Well, we're not going to exist
in
15 years?
Yeah, pretty much.
I'll bet you. Why? Well, what reasons does he give? What are we not...
I'd be a little explosive for this forum.
Okay. I'm sure he's clearly referring to the greed of Wall Street is what he's referring to.
He's referring to any number of factors.
Oh, okay. We'll talk about that off the air.
Composition of this country and our culture. I guess I'll just leave it at that. I'll go no further on this nonsense.
You know what's interesting with you?
Why?
Well, your desire to see the importation of the luchadors in wrestling was not translated. So there you go.
Point well taken. We've identified your democracy, and now we've identified mine. I want to see more luchadors.
What are the worst 10 presidents, by the way? Let's start with the worst 10 presidents, okay? I could tell Ronald Reagan he was one of the worst, but he wouldn't remember. But that's okay.
I don't know if you voted George W. Bush when we did that. Are there any SummerSlams from the last 10 years?
Yeah, well, I think we decided 07.
Yeah.
And 10.
Ten.
Yeah, we're bad.
If we still need another one, nine's got to be in there.
There'd be another... Nine was kind of... I thought it was a little better. This new one... Some of these other ones were bad. 2011 and 2012 were worse than 2009, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
I think you're having nine nostalgia in saying that.
The CM Punk Jeff Hardy match was... I liked it.
Oh, okay.
It was something I liked. I liked it better than anything on the last two.
All right. So is that 10?
Yeah, I think that would give us 10.
Yeah. Or approximately.
Yeah.
I mean, we know this in real time.
Yeah,
what
the hell? Let's keep it.
Cut us some slack.
So the bottom line is, the bad ones are kind of evenly distributed.
Okay.
I think.
So, basically, it's not really a predictive thing that if you're in a great period, you're in a great summer. It kind of is a predictive thing that if you're in a bad period, like the mid-90s, your SummerSlams are going to suck.
And then, if you're in the boom period, like... Here's the thing, SummerSlam was created to bring this full circle at the kind of towards the end of that first boom period.
Okay.
So that's why I don't think, although 89 is a vastly underrated SummerSlam.
It is.
91's a pretty good one. 92 is very good. It's,
yeah.
You know, the biggest crowd they were G3. The first five SummerSlams I would rate as good to great.
Right.
The other two is just poor. But there wasn't that classic old, like, there's no, you know, WrestleMania 3 is clearly most fondly remembered.
Sure.
WrestleMania that year. SummerSlam doesn't have the equivalent because they started it kind of after, you know, 85 to 87 was the real height of that first boom period. SummerSlam was created after that.
Right.
So you didn't have that, but you certainly, the Attitude Era certainly had many famous SummerSlams. The mid-90s, like you mentioned, was kind of in the deer of the company. And, you know, like we mentioned, 94, 95, 96, all bad SummerSlams. And then the post-Attitude Era, well, it has not reached the deer of the 90s, levels. There's been some bad moments, like we've talked about. There's been
right.
some bad moments.
It hasn't been in the nadir of the mid 90s. It hasn't reached the heights of a boom period. Intermittently, like WrestleMania, every year certainly gets more mainstream publicity than it ever did in the down years.
Oh yeah, for sure. But the thing is, and you could argue that for SummerSlam. I don't think I don't exactly think that. The LA Times was covering, you know, SummerSlam 95.
I really like to see PJ Simer's take on
it. Yeah, exactly. How about Bill Plaschke, by the way?
You like that?
No, I can't defend him.
Really?
No,
okay.
No,
well, good for you.
Although we do agree on the same college football pick, but it's championship.
You can't even defend. That makes him the Joe Biden of your.
Yes.
That's outstanding. So, all right, the modern wrestler, the modern SummerSlams here, and looking at this, again, not, it kind of a mixed bag.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, we'll leave it on that meh note. We appreciate you tuning in, folks, and catching all of our installments here. This has been 4B, bringing you from 2007 to 2012, all the way up to the present here. Rick Morris and Kyle Ross. Kyle, this is your series. Any parting thoughts?
Go, Obama.
That's despicable.